Let the church say amen. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Amen. Giving all glory and honor unto God. For again, he has blessed each and every one of us that we may witness a day that we have never seen before. Now, let's get a few things out of the way. One, I ain't no preacher. I ain't no preacher. But that's all right. Because I can deliver a word from God's Bible. Number two, I shouldn't have went to bed early last night. Because I found a text message on my phone this morning saying I'm preaching this morning. Amen. So, let's get right to it. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24. I want to go through most of this chapter so you'll have an idea of what's going on here. And your Bible says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took the 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep cotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thee, thine enemy, into thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth thine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out the cave and cried after Saul, Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's word, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in thy hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. In other words, I could have killed you. but I didn't. Know now that and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Now, if you'll flip over to the 26th chapter, looking at verses number 1. And the Zephites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched around about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. And David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. And so David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. And then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Answer us not, Abner." Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord, the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die. But because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed, and now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." In Samuel chapter 24, at verse number 9, Saul, he accused men of listening to other men. In chapter 24 and at verse number 11, Saul says, or David says, "I could have killed you." In verse number 17, it is said that you are more righteous than I. And at chapter 26 and at verse number 20, David spares Saul's life again. In chapter 26 and at verse number 21, Saul tells David that, "I have sinned and I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." I want to go with the subject titled, "Three Ways to Play the Fool." Three ways to play the fool. In common language, a fool is a person who is somewhat deficient in intellect, or a person who acts absurdly. One who does not exercise his reason. One who pursues a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. In the scripture, a fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures opposed to the service of God and eternal happiness. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verses number 15 through 17. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Your Bible says the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, in this particular chapter, these verses number 15, 16, and 17, are going to define the three ways that man plays the fool. In verse number 15 again, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Now, when we look at verse number 15, for Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent, they are crowned with knowledge. You know, a fool is one that will believe anything that you tell him. He is so gullible, if you told him that the sky was green, he would believe it. For the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. For prudent, having showing good judgment, wise wisdom, and intelligent. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3 tells us that a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, there comes a point within our lives that after we find that something doesn't work correctly the first time, we ought not repeat the same sequence again. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses number 14 and 15, the Bible tells us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cursing craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The second way that one plays the fool is by being arrogant. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. The writer states that he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Luke chapter 12, a passage that we're familiar with. And in verse number 16 says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And when he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. But Jesus says in verse number 19, and I will say to him, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And this is what the fool is saying to himself. But God, Jesus says in verse number 20, God says unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, Then whose shall those things which thou hast provided be? We find in verse number 8, or chapter 8, verse number 13 of the book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It is to hate pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The third way in which one can play the fool is to be quick-tempered, one who is contentious. For in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse number 6 and 7, the Bible says, a fool's lip enters into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. You know, I can remember back years ago when we were at Dill Avenue, Brother Brown would make mention of the fact that it is better to be considered a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. In the book of James, chapter 3, and at verse number 6, the writer states that, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Psalms chapter 14 and at verse number 1. Also Psalms chapter 53 and at verse number 1. We have seen, and perhaps we have dealt with, many individuals who denounce God or even his very existence. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And unfortunately, America is coming to that point where it believeth not in God. For corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. But we also find in the book of 2 Peter, at verse number 3, verses 1 through 9, that God, he is not slack according to his promise. For it is said that, beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And in verse number 5, for this they will willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of waters and in the water, by which the world that hath then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and at verse number 9, our Bible tells us that a fool makes a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. In the next chapter over, in verse number 5, Proverbs chapter 15, a fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So, let those who are wise, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. And let those who understand receive guidance by exploring the depth of meaning in these proverbs, parables, wise sayings, and riddles. For fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And only fools, they despise wisdom and discipline. A father's exhortation acquire wisdom. And listen, my children, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teachings. In the verse number 9, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. In conclusion, we realize that God has no delight in fools. Unless you're a fool for him. He doesn't have any delight in fools unless you are a fool for him. And throughout the course of this week, or last week, you realize that you have played the fool. You realize that Satan has deceived you and caused you to play by his rules. We want you to know that on this morning, the opportunity awaits you that you may come with a repentant heart and acknowledge to this assembly that you have sinned and we will go in prayer on your behalf. Or maybe you are with us on this morning, you have not been baptized into Christ, and you have been playing the fool of Satan all of your life. We want you to know, too, on this morning that the opportunity is available that you may become a child of God and no longer a fool for Satan. We want you to know that there are 5 steps in one way. You first come by hearing his word, as recorded in the book of John, chapter 6, and verse number 45. Believe that what you have heard, Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, repent of all of your sins, everything that's contrary to God's will and his way. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. If I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Confess before this assembly that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. And complete your act of obedience through baptism as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. We invite you, if you have either disposition, to come now as we together stand singing softly the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste. Oh.